All right, let's dive into the Word of God together. Turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Acts, chapter 27, as we continue to go verse by verse through the book of Acts and on Sunday mornings. And as you know, we're in the Old Testament on Wednesdays, going through 1 Samuel. So we're in Acts 27, looking at verses 13 to 22. And Father, we're so grateful that you're the God who changes everything. And Lord, we can look to you, we can call upon you to change our hearts. You said the heart of the king is in the hands of the Lord like the rivers of water. You can turn it whichever way you want to turn it. Lord, turn our hearts to you. Turn our hearts to prayer. Turn our hearts to your word. Lord, give us ears to hear what you're going to say to us today. And Lord, as we have opened up the dialogue through worship to talk to you, now we pray that you speak to us through your word. Give us a word in season. Lord, reveal the secrets of our hearts today, Lord, so we can leave here knowing that you're in this place. And dear God, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Acts chapter 27, looking at verses 13 through 22. The title of this message is Storm Warning. Storm Warning. Now, a storm warning indicates that a meteorologist have already observed severe conditions with the weather. If you hear that a storm warning has been issued, it means that there's potential dangerous weather that is imminent or near your location. Now, this is true physically, but it's also true spiritually as well. We saw last time that there are some signs that a storm is on the horizon in our lives. Number one, the winds in our lives will start to be contrary, like verse 4 said. Number two, things that was once easy in our lives will start to become difficult, like verse 7 said. Number three, during this time, we will be tempted to listen to the majority of people around us instead of the word of God, like verse 12 said. So Paul, acting like a spiritual meteorologist, said in verse 10, "Men, I perceive that this voyage will end in disaster and much loss, not only of the cargo and ship, but also of our lives." Now, we talked about last time how Paul said in 2 Corinthians 11 and verse 25 that three times he was shipwrecked, and one of these times he spent a night and a day in the deep or in the middle of the ocean. So Paul knew from experience the early signs of a storm like a meteorologist does. However, verse 12 said that the centurion, who was the Roman soldier, in charge of 100 men, the centurion in charge was more persuaded by the helmsman and the owner of the ship than by the things spoken by Paul. Oh, so let's see who was right. Look at verses 13 through 15. "When the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their desire, putting out to sea, they sailed close to Crete. But not long after, a tempestuous headwind arose called Euroclydon. So when the ship was caught and could not head into the wind, we let her drive." So just before they set sail, verse 13 said the south wind blew softly. When they saw this, they supposed that they obtained their desire, which was favorable weather for their journey. So they put out to sea and to see how the journey is going to go. They stayed close to the shore of the island of Crete. Now, this is a perfect illustration to warn us of a coming storm. This is how it is in our lives as well. When we disobey the word of the Lord to us, a south wind will blow softly and it will look like it was a good idea to move in with our partner without being married. Oh, things will blow along softly. You're playing house and everything is going smoothly. The south wind is blowing softly. Even though people are saying, you shouldn't do that, you shouldn't do that. Oh, but as soon as you did it, the soft wind began to blow softly. You say, oh, no, no, they were wrong, we were right. However, a storm is coming your way. A storm will come my way because we cannot ignore or disobey the commandments of God and a storm not come our way. How do I know? Because verse 14 says, but not long after, a tempestuous headwind arose called the Euroclydon. Now, the name of this storm is a hybrid word from the Greek word euros, which means east wind, and the Latin word aquilo, which means north wind. It is what we call a nor'easter or a typhoon. It was a storm that sailors traveling on the Mediterranean Sea dreaded. This is the type of storm we don't want in our lives either. Let me tell you, I've been in a spiritual Euroclydon type of storm. You don't want to be in that type of storm. It is a storm that we have no control over, like these sailors. They let the ship go once they saw that it was caught in the winds of the storm, according to verse 15. But the ship was out of control once it was caught up and pushed by the wind. Or let me just ask you here, as you're sitting here, is your life out of control? Are things chaotic in your life when at one time the south wind was blowing softly? Your storm, don't miss this, your storm is a storm of correction. God is allowing this storm to blow into your life to correct you and to let you know that your course of action is off course. Oh, it's best to repent and get back to the shore as fast as you can. However, if you continue to sail like most of us would do, then what will happen to these men will come upon us. Look at verses 16 and 17. And running under the shelter of the island of Clauda, we secured the skiff with difficulty. And when they had taken it on board, they used cables to undergird the ship. And fearing lest they should run aground on the Syrtis sands, they struck sail and were so driven. So as this storm is raging, they found a temporary shelter on the island of Clauda, which was around 23 miles southwest of the island of Crete. They took this time to secure the skiff with difficulty. Now, the skiff was a little boat that served as a lifeboat during these storms. During the storm, they will also pull up this little lifeboat on board so that the storm wouldn't slam this little boat into the mothership and destroy it and also damage the main ship. By this time, it was filled with water, and this is why Luke, the author, said that we secured it with difficulty. Luke, using the plural pronoun we, implies that everyone on ship was helping the crew with their duties. It was what we would call all men on deck to help out during this time. It's like this in our lives spiritually. Instead of repenting and running back to the safety of the harbor of Jesus Christ, we keep sailing in the storm, and now we have other people involved in our storm intended to correct us. When we are disobedient, we always bring other people with us. In the Gospel of John, chapter 21 and verse 3, it says, Peter said, I am going fishing. And the other disciples said, well, we're going with you also. Now, this statement will seem innocent at first or on the surface until we realize that Jesus had called them out of fishing for fish into fishing for men. But Peter, being disobedient, said, I am going back to fishing for fish. And the other disciples said, we're going with you. Who are you taking or have taken into your storm? We always take innocent people with us. The storm is sent to correct us. But those who are closest to us and those who are attached to us end up going into the storm and end up suffering in the storm of correction that was intended just for us. We always take innocent people with us. Men, listen to me. Men, you're the head of the home. Single parents, so are you. And when you're disobedient, when I'm disobedient at the head of my home, unfortunately, my precious family suffers for it. They get drug into the storm that was sent to correct me, but because they are attached to me, they're in the boat with me, then so often they get taken into that storm as well. Who are you taking or have taken into the storm of correction? Is it some best friend that's close to you? Some coworker that you work with or beside? Now, their lives, our children, our wives, their lives are in danger because we have decided to keep sailing into the storm sent to correct us. So put it this way. So after they took the little boat on board, verse 17 said that they used cables and used a technique called frapping to secure this lifeboat with cables. They were also concerned because they thought that the storm was going to blow them toward the Syrtis Sands, according to verse 17. Now, even though the Syrtis Sands was some 400 miles away off of the northern coast of Africa near the country of Libya, even though it was 400 miles away, remember, they had no control. This storm was blowing them wherever the storm wanted to blow them. So they were concerned that they would end up heading toward the Syrtis Sands. Now, you got to understand, the Syrtis Sands, it was known as a graveyard for ships because of this well-known quicksand in the area. And this is why Luke writes in verse 17, fearing lest they should run aground on the Syrtis Sands. So they raised the sail and were so driven. They just put the sail up and just said, we have no control. This storm is going to blow us where it wants to go. Now, at this time, there is nothing you can do about this storm you are in when it's a storm of correction. Oh, you tried to get other people to help you, but their help didn't work like we see here. See, what God is doing is bringing you and me to the end of ourselves. He is not trying to destroy us, but to bring us to himself. Remember that this is a storm of correction. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 11 says, now, no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterwards, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. So God uses storms to discipline and train us, to bring us back to righteousness, to bring us back to right living, to bring us back to himself. Oh, look at verses 18 and 19. And because we were exceedingly tempest-tossed, the next day they lightened the ship. And on the third day, we threw the ship's tackle overboard with our own hands. Now, even though everyone on the ship was helping the crew out, it was to no avail because verse 18 said that they were exceedingly tempest-tossed, and the next day they lightened the ship, showing that the crew was getting desperate now. Throwing miscellaneous things and unnecessary equipment overboard to try to lighten the ship. Because, you know, with all the crew that's on it, we're going to see later it was 276 people on the ship. With all the crew, with all the equipment, everything, it will weigh the ship down in the water. You remember they were already afraid to go in toward the Syrtis Sands, which was quicksand. So they were trying to throw stuff overboard to lighten the ship so it wouldn't be so deep into the water. So they threw all the miscellaneous, unnecessary things and equipment overboard. And there is a beautiful parallel spiritually. And so too, when we are being exceedingly tempest-tossed by our storm of correction, the ends are no longer going to meet financially. So what do? It's trying to get rid of things, selling them online on eBay and Facebook Marketplace, trying to secure some kind of income, trying to lighten the load and throwing cable and satellite TV and cell phones overboard, Xboxes and PlayStation systems, doing all these things to try to lighten your load like they were doing now. But we can see that they were miserable and it did not work. And so they were forced to ride the storm out. Oh, in the storm of correction, we get desperate. We'd do anything to get out of that storm. But no. God will not let us get out of it until we've been disciplined and trained by the storm of correction that was sent to correct us. You can do all you can. You can sell everything in your house. You can be sitting on the floor. Living room furniture gone. Dining room, you sold it all. It's all on eBay. It's all on Facebook Market and all this. So you can sell everything. But all you're going to be left to do is just ride that particular storm out until you are corrected and correct the course of action that you find yourself in. Look what it says there in verse 20. Notice it says, "Now when neither sun nor stars appeared for many days and no small tempest beat on us, all hope that we should be saved was finally given up." One of the things, let me just say this, one of the things we have to realize is that as we are in the midst of our storm of correction, we can't roll ourselves out in our own strength. No matter what we try to do with our own hands, it won't be fruitful like we see here in this story. And as we see that the storm was raging so badly that it blocked out the sun in the daytime and the stars at night, showing us that we will not be able to see our way out. When you're in the midst of a storm of correction, you get desperate to do anything to get out of that storm. But no, you're going to be in that storm and God will make it where you won't be able to see your way out. The sun, the storm will block the sun and block the stars, those things used to navigate through life. God will make sure that you won't be able to see your way out until you learn the lesson. See, God is not trying to make us hopeless, but hopeful. You say, well, how was that? Remember how it said that the storm beat on them to the point that all hope that they should be saved was finally given up. See, God is not trying to make you hopeless, but hopeful. Like I said earlier, he is using the storm to bring us to the end of ourselves so that we can come to the beginning of him. This is why you feel hopeless, because you've used up all of your human resources and human abilities. You use them all up. The key is to run back to Jesus, back to the safe arms of the Lord. He is waiting on the shore for you like he was waiting on the shore for his disciples to return from their little backsliding adventure, according to John 21 and verse 4. Oh, look what it says in verses 21 and 22. It says, "But after long abstinence from food, then Paul stood in the midst of them and said, 'Men,'" oh, I just love this sentence. I just love this. "Man, you should have listened to me. 'And not have sailed from Crete and incurred this disaster and loss. And now I urge you to take heart, for there will be no loss of life among you, but only the ship.'" Now we can see in verse 21 that they have gone a long abstinence from food. Why is that? Maybe because they were rationing out the food, because you remember they threw a bunch of stuff, unnecessary things, overboard. They also went a long time not eating out of depression, being seasick, out of fear. All of these things, especially depression, can have a way of suppressing our appetites. Oh, I didn't mention this first service. I'm going to mention it here because somebody needs to hear this. Be it your spouse, be it your children that's living under your roof. If you watch them and all of a sudden they're no longer eating, pay close attention to that. Something is going on. Something is going on. Something, they're depressed in some kind of way. Now, I mean, you know, you got folks that are trying to not eat because they want to lose weight. Well, I'm not talking about that. But I'm talking about husbands, pay attention to your wife. And all of a sudden she's not eating. You haven't seen her smile in a long time. Wives, pay attention to your husband. Now, if he's not eating, call the National Guard. Because you know we like to eat. wait till a man is still through his stomach. And if he's not eating, something is definitely not right. Because depression can easily cause some issues and it has a way of suppressing the appetite. And just be mindful. Just be mindful that your children, they're just stuck up in the room and, you know, not coming down, not wanting to eat. Now, some of that is just being just a goofy, silly teenager. And, you know, we all been teenagers before and we just, you know, little boy, they liked it. He said he didn't like them and now they're depressed and don't want to eat. And still pay attention to that. But some of that just teenage stuff you just got to deal with. But I'm telling you, depression will have a way of stripping us, suppressing our appetite. So just pay attention to one another. Be close. So often we're so tunnel. We have tunnel vision. All we see is our situation, our problems, our issues. And there are people all around us that's going through stuff. And the outward indication that there's something's not right inwardly is a lack of appetite. So just pay close attention to each other. When God called Cain on the carpet for killing his brother Abel, and God said, he said, Cain, where's your brother? He said, am I my brother's keeper? See, we are. We are each other's keeper. And pay attention to each other and watch. If there's a suppression of appetite, just begin to start inquiring, asking some open-ended questions. And another sign, avoidance of the conversation. That's another sign. Be careful. Be watchful. Be watchful. Tell me, be watchful of that kind of stuff. Because it can happen to any of us. Now back to the statement that I loved Paul made. He said, man, you should have listened to me and not have sailed from Crete and incurred this disaster and loss. Here's the thing. Paul wasn't trying to make them feel worse. Like we would say, you should listen to me. Paul wasn't doing that. But to point out that he prophesied that this would happen. He told them back at the area called the Docks of Fair Havens. He said, look, hey, do not sail and incur disaster. Look, I think that it's going to be a disastrous trip, not only for the boat, but also for our own lives. See, here's the thing. The very people that ignored Paul's wisdom when they were safely at the docks of the city of Fair Havens in verse 10, now they are ready to listen to the man of God. Oh, the same is true for us. When the south wind was blowing softly in our lives, we didn't want to listen to the man or woman of God sent to warn us of the storm that is coming our way. And now, after being exceedingly tempest-tossed for days, you're now in a place to listen. See, God is so gracious that he will send the man or woman of God not to rub it in, but to encourage us, just like we see Paul is doing here. He said in verse 22, and now I urge you to take heart. I bet that they were listening very closely, especially when he said, for there will be no loss of life among you, but only the ship. Now, we're in a place at this time where we can listen to the man or woman of God, depending upon how powerful the storm of correction is in our life. Now, let me just say, you may lose some material things. You may lose a car. You may lose a house and other material things, but you will be fine as an individual. Just like Paul said here, there'll be a loss of some things, but not of your lives. So to it, when you're in the storm of correction, depend upon how far you go into that storm. You're going to be okay, but you may lose some material things along the way. Somebody needs to hear that, because maybe you're in the midst of that right now. But see, the more we ignore the man or woman of God sent our way, the more we ignore that, the more material things the storm of correction is going to take from us. And we got to be mindful of that. Now, just know, you will get through this storm. The longer you sail in it, the worse the material things you're going to lose. This is why I want to encourage you to run back to the safe harbor of Jesus Christ. Run back to the arms of Him. Because the longer you keep sailing and you kind of, I can figure this out. You know, I got this. I can roll out of this. The worst is going to be, you can't roll out of it. God will see to it that you will not roll out of it, because He is intended for that storm of correction to correct something in your life. And this is what we have to see. Now, just know, you're going to get through the storm. You say, well, how, Pastor Tony? I'm in the midst of it right now. I'm in the midst of the storm. I've already lost this and I lost that. You know, how you know I'm going to get through the storm? Well, you got to wait until next time. And you'll find out that you're going to make it. But I had to stop it right there and keep you on the edge of your seat, wondering how to get through the storms of correction. Because there's a way to get through it. Let me conclude with this. In this message called Storm Warning, we saw how Paul was acting as a spiritual meteorologist. And he tried to warn them of a coming storm, but they ignored him and went into a powerful typhoon. My advice to you is, don't ignore the spiritual meteorologist God sends your way. However, God is so loving, He is so gracious, He is so kind, that He will send someone your way as you're in the midst of your storm to give you hope. I'm here to give you some hope today. So don't be upset if they say, you should have listened to me and incurred this disaster and loss. Because you know why? Because it's true. You should have listened to them. That's the true part about it. So don't get in your feelings. Oh, you made me feel worse. You should have listened to them. I should have listened to them. But just repent and sail back to God, to the safety of the harbor, into the arms of Jesus Christ. Remember, He is waiting on the shore for you. You know, like you're on the beach and you coming in from the water, you see somebody waving on the shore, just waving at you. That's Jesus waiting on you to return, to come back to God. I bring this up because 2020 has been hard. It's been a tough year. I would say it's been just a very tough year. Just a tough year. Oh, I've been through things. Oh, we all have. We all have our stories. But the beautiful thing is that God wants to give us hope today that we can come back to Him. Many of you and many online, you 2020, you've drifted from God. You've drifted past the safety of the harbor of God. And the beautiful thing is that the Lord wants to bring you back. It's always exceptions to the rule. There's very few people who can say, oh, 2020 was a great year for me. Spiritually, I had it going on. You know, things were good. I'm close. There's always exceptions to the rule. We let them be by themselves. But for the rest of us, 2020 was tough. And 2020, many people have strayed spiritually. You're not where you were. Look at yourself December 2019 and look at yourself December 2020. And there's a vast difference spiritually. That closeness and that intimacy that you once experienced with God is not there. But I'm here to give you hope that God is called the God of all hope, and you can always come back to Him. He's always waiting with open arms for us. That's the God we serve. That's why He's called the God of hope. Because He gives us hope. That's what the whole Christmas season, the first Christmas carol, you know, peace on earth and goodwill toward all men. God wants to give us hope. He wants to give you hope that you can come home. Spiritually, you can come back. Don't roll into the following year. Don't roll into the next year still in the same spiritual condition you were in 2020. Don't do that. He's giving you hope. Yes, He sent the storm of correction to correct a whole lot of folks, especially the United States. We're in the midst of a storm of correction. No matter how we want to look at it, how we want to shake it, how we want to classify it, how we want to say, oh, the devil, and oh, okay, amen, whatever. Whatever make you sleep well at night. But I believe we're in the midst of a storm of correction. Billy Graham said it, I quote it all the time. He said, if God doesn't judge America harshly, he owes Sodom and Gomorrah an apology. And I believe that's so true. He destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. And so too with the myriad of sins we have committed as Americans. God is sending us through. And you know what? The amazing thing about it is, in the book of 1 Peter, it says that judgment must begin at the house of God. You know why? Because we are supposed to be the salt of the earth, and we're supposed to be the light of the world. And instead, we're fooling around just like the world is. But we're still calling ourselves, I'm a Christian. And therefore, because of that, judgment is beginning at the house of God. That's why many churches are struggling. God has allowed the struggle. I didn't say he caused it, but he allowed it. You remember Satan, he can't do anything without God's permission. So he wants to, according to John 10:10, he wants to kill, steal, and destroy. So God, he has to get permission from God to do that. And when God said, yeah, you can go ahead and do a little bit of dirty work, and I'll tell you when to stop. And I think God has allowed it. Allowed for us, the church, to try to find our way. I think that also this storm has exposed where we were spiritually. We thought we were further along in our walk with God, and we're not as far as we thought, dude, are we? But he gives us room to come back to him. He gives us room to repent. He gives us room. And that's the God we serve. He loves us so much that he says, you know what? I'm still going to love you and still going to constantly be whispering in your ear to come back to me. And I'm just the audible voice of what God has been speaking internally in your heart. It's time to come home. It's time for many of you to come home. Aren't you tired of that old hum spiritual walk that you have, or the lack thereof? It's time to come home. It's time to get serious about the things of God, serious about the Lord. It's we can see things are winding up. Let me just say this last thing. I didn't mention this first service either. Let me just say this quickly. The Bible talks about in the last days, especially during this period of time called the tribulation period. And in the middle of the 7 years, the 3.5 year mark, the Antichrist, or the world leader that's coming on the scene, he's going to require something. He's going to require what is called a mark to be placed on the right hand or the forehead of people. And you won't be able to buy, sell, or do anything without this mark. But to get the mark, you are pledging allegiance to Satan, and you will be condemned for all eternity. What tough times. Now watch this. I said it on nationwide radio that the vaccine is not the mark. It's not the mark. But it's a precursor to the mark. I never thought my eyes would see us getting this close to things taking place. Because once the mark occurred, which will be during the tribulation period, that I believe the church, God's true people, will not be here for. But it's funny to see these things, the stage being set. You know, talk about people used to saying, you know, the fat lady sing. Yeah, well, the fat lady's on stage. The curtain just hasn't been drawn yet, but she's on stage. Oh, I'm not. Now, I'm sure Now I got to fix that up. Fat lady. Some people are all weird. Oh, it's not politically correct. Oh, it's just a saying. My wife was here. She would have been like, well, you know, that's not. But you get the point. So here's the thing. It's going to get to a point. It's not here yet, but it's going to get to a point. And you can say you heard it from me first. It's going to get to a point where you won't be able to do anything unless you have that vaccine. Watch. You won't be able to go to crowded places. And then the question is, how would they know if you have it? So there must be a way to detect it. The technology is already here. Before you came in here or anywhere else, they're putting the gun up to your forehead. Let's take your temperature. Ooh. The technology is here. So some kind of way they're going to connect the dots, vaccine, and boop. They're going to connect the dots pretty soon. And so, like I said, it is not the mark of the beast. It's a precursor. It's letting us know that the stage is being set. This is incredible. It's incredible. So if the mark will occur during the tribulation period, and here's the thing, the church is raptured up out of here before the tribulation period, and we're already seeing signs of things that would happen in the tribulation period. This is why the Bible says, lift up your head and look high, for your redemption draws nigh. The rapture of the church is soon to take place at any time, because we see all the technology. When I first got saved over 35 years ago, we read about the mark of the beast, and we're like, oh, okay, yeah, well, whatever, you know. Well, how you gonna do all that? But all the technology is here. It's all here, right now. Once again, let me say this again. The vaccine and the vaccine, that is not the mark of the beast. Don't go out and Pastor Tony said that's the mark. No, I didn't say that. I know how y'all hear things. You hear, I say one thing, 1 + 1 = 2. Pastor Tony, you said 1 + 1 = 3. No, I didn't say that. So I know how you hear. Let me just say it a third time. This vaccine, it is not the mark of the beast. But it's interesting, it's a precursor. And the question is, are you right with God? Because if you're right with God, we're going to be raptured out of here. We'll be taken out. Those who are not right with God will remain here. And just know, when that mark rolls out, the real mark, you won't be able to buy, sell, do anything, go anywhere without that mark. I didn't say that first service because somebody needs to hear that today. You need to get right with God. He loves you. He is already showing us that time is winding up. He's already showing us. It is. The stuff is here. Technology is here. Everything's here. Just think about it. When he goes into the temple at the 3.5 year mark of the tribulation period, when he goes into the temple, he says, the Bible says he's going to set up an image. That the whole world will see this image, and he will require everyone in the world to bow down to this image. Now, think about that. Over 35 years ago, we were like, what is that talking about? Today, we already know CNN is going to cover that event. We know an image set up in the temple so everybody can see. All you got to do is get a hologram. See, the technology is here. Y'all are looking at me like y'all don't read y'all's Bible. It's in Revelation chapters 12 and 13. Read your Bibles. But the question is, are you right with God? He's giving you hope, and he wants you to come back to him. He wants you to come to him. Get your life right with God. Somebody needs to hear that. Get your life right with God. Today, the Bible says, if you hear his voice, don't harden your heart. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your word. We're so grateful for your loving kindness and tender mercies. We're so grateful that you love us enough and you keep calling us back to you over and over and over again. Thank you, Lord, that you're the God of hope and we have hope in you. And Lord, I just pray you forgive us for straying. Forgive us for sailing past the safety of the harbor, Lord, which is you. Forgive us, Lord, for backsliding. Forgive us for being fearful and afraid. Forgive us, Lord, for not fearing you who can kill both body and soul and send it to hell. Lord, forgive us for not fearing you. Forgive us, Lord. Have mercy upon us for us allowing things back into our lives that you once took out. Forgive us, God. And if there's anyone here who has not repented of their sin and accepted Christ as their Lord and Savior, just pray this short prayer after me. Just say, Lord Jesus, forgive me. I believe you died on the cross and was buried and rose again just for me. Come into my heart. I make you my Lord and Savior. Help me to live for you by the power of your Holy Spirit from this moment forward. In Jesus' name, amen.